If you have a church Bible, it is page 1038. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 10, and then verse 14. Chapter 2 and verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And verse 14 says, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Christ is our peace. You must have noticed, I guess, as we read that passage just then, that twice it says, it talks about death. It talks about you were dead. And you know, if we're dead, we don't, our teacher's no good. If we're dead, wisdom is no good. If we're dead, the hospital's not much use. If we're dead, we need to be made alive. Don't we? We need to be awakened. We need to be awakened in our spirit. And it said, you were dead. It says that we, each one of us, were dead in sins. We were dead in trespasses. We were fulfilling our own will. Sometimes that could be fulfilling the lust of flesh, as mentioned here. But certainly we didn't put God first, that's for sure. We were dead. And that's why God has come in Jesus. He became our peace. He became our reconciler. He came and sacrificed himself on the cross. He died our death. He died that we would not stay spiritually dead forever. He rose again that we might rise with him and share in his resurrection life, in his resurrection power. Hallelujah. And now because he lives, we can live as well. Spiritually, we can become truly alive. He went up on high. He ascended on high. Of course, he's coming back the same way as he went, and he will come and land in the same place as he went up. That's what the Bible says. I believe it. But when he was still on earth, he promised his disciples, when they're a bit sorrowful, when they heard him say, I'm going to go away from you, he said, look, don't worry. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm still going to be with you. I will pour out my Holy Spirit. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. I'll give you myself. In fact, it's going to be far better than if I was here physically with you. Because in Jesus, in his earthly body, until he had his resurrection body, could only be in one place at a time. But now, his Holy Spirit is poured out. He can be in you. He can be in you. He can be in me, he can be in the world, convicting it of sin, of righteousness. It's what we read in John's Gospel. You know, Jesus had a conversation with a guy once, and he was saying, good teacher, and so on. But Jesus actually, in one place, says, look, can you see the wind? You can hear it. You can hear it. Last night it woke me up. The effects of the wind woke me up. There was some rattling going on round about, and it was quite strong. And we're forecast some heavy winds the coming 24 hours. But we can only see the effects of the wind, can't we? We can see the branches fall down. We can see, you know, the things, if you're going uphill, it's stronger, it's harder work if the wind is against you. If it's behind you, you go faster. That's the effect of the wind. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit's like that. And he says to this guy, actually, you must be born again. It's what we talk about, being born again. It's being born again of the Holy Spirit. No longer dead, you come alive. Because Christ has come and done a work in your heart and in my heart, that we're no longer now dead to sin. We've actually come alive because he has come to us. It's actually said in our reading, Ephesians 2, that it's by grace you are saved through faith. We have to respond. We have to say to the Lord, okay, I'm getting convicted here. I realize that, as your word says, you know, the heart is deceitful, it's desperately wicked. Who can know it? I realize I haven't loved you and served you all the days of my life. Actually, I'm far from you. I reckon if you were to take me now, I wouldn't go to heaven. I wouldn't see your face because I don't deserve to, Lord. I'm lost. I'm blind. But hey, you also show me something about the cross. That it was for people like me you came. You gave your life a ransom for sinners. You gave your life sacrificially that we would no longer be in our sin, but alive in you. In your death, there's life for me. We just read, he is our peace. If we're still in our sin, if we've still got hardness of heart, if we're not following Jesus, if he's not our Saviour and Lord, we don't really have peace. There's always that nagging doubt, what if? What if there really is a God? What if there is an eternity? What if I am going to meet him? And then he'd judge me for my disobedience, for my pride, for my sin. What a great thing. If you have been forgiven, or if even now God is saying to you, it's time to make your peace with God, what a great thing that he becomes our peace. The word of God says he is the Prince of Peace. The word of God says, the Bible says, look, in this world you do have trouble. Sometimes it's big trouble. Big trouble may be coming. But if now you have been forgiven, if now you have peace, you have nothing to be afraid of. Because in the world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I will give you peace. Isn't that great? And we just read, it's not of works. I can't earn myself, neither can you. If you still think that you can be accepted by God because of who you are, because of what you do, you're mistaken. It's received as a gift. Salvation comes as a gift. And I'm so thankful this morning to have shared with Mike and Nikki in their celebration of 25 years of marriage. We rejoiced with them. Their relationship will have had its ups and downs. Oh, Mike's shaking his head, no. So he probably needs counselling afterwards. So just. But they love each other. They love each other. Their relationship has survived because they love each other, but Christ Jesus came into both of their hearts and lives. So Jesus is part of their marriage. And, you know, human life is about relationships, isn't it? It is about relationships. A life that is committed to Christ, a life, a marriage, a business, a family, singleness, our homes, our school, our college. When we are committed to Christ, it can be so fulfilling and so rewarding. But of course, anything has its potential to be frustrating, to disappoint, to discourage. And our desire to live as Christians and as people whose mindset is filled with good intentions can sometimes go wrong. I know some men who have entered into marriage with good intentions. In fact, I've never known anybody to enter a marriage with the intention that they want it to fail. They've had good intentions. I've known people who love to have a family, long to have a family. They intended having a family. They have a family. And he never intended to neglect his child or abuse his child. But he has. Marriages fail. Families can crumble. Friendships can be destroyed. The desperate needs of the world can remain unaddressed. But at the same time, I've known men and I've known women who have vital marriages, great marriages, marriages that are succeeding, as we've indeed celebrated today. I've known people who have real, meaningful friendships and who are making a significant impact, a difference to those around them. Their life has a purpose. Both groups have good intentions, the first which I describe and the second. But I think one of the significant differences between the two groups is that the second group have Christ in their relationship. They have Christ in their hearts and lives. Both groups have good intentions. But I think if we are going to develop vital relationships in our marriages with each other, we need Jesus Christ right at the centre. We need the dynamic relationship of Jesus living in us. Now, don't misunderstand me, please. What I'm saying is religion isn't the answer. I'm talking about a vital relationship. A vital relationship. Religious people can be quite miserable. They can often be angry, they can be resentful, they can be critical, they can be self-righteous, full of ambition. Religious people live in the shoulds and the should nots, the rules and the regulations. It actually was religious people who crucified the Lord Jesus. So what do I mean? I want to clarify. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. Religion is man's attempt, women's attempt, to appease God with human effort. But authentic biblical Christianity, biblical spirituality, is not a religion. Authentic biblical spirituality is primarily a relationship. Praise be to God. It is rooted in what God has already done for us. It is rooted in what God has already accomplished on our behalf through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Surely you can get excited about that. The self-effort will never get you to heaven. Self-effort will never make you. You know, even having a perfect marriage without Jesus will never get you to heaven. And God knew that. Mike mentioned about Adam and Eve and about that perfect marriage. But of course it went all pear-shaped, didn't it? Or apple-shaped. Because they disobeyed God. They did their own thing. Sin entered the world. Sin is destructive. And we are still reaping destruction. The human heart, as I mentioned just now, is desperately wicked. We need to be born again. We need to have that vital relationship with Jesus. And that's not religion. A vital relationship is what is needed. Jesus Christ came to offer a relationship with God. Actually, do you remember what was the greatest group that opposed God with the greatest resistance, Jesus, when he was on earth? It was the Pharisees, what we call the Pharisees. It was the religious people. And the Pharisees, in general, they seemed to suffer from a unique form of neurotic self-deception that we call self-righteousness. You remember the prayer that Jesus taught. He talked about two men. You know, they were both, as it were, praying, or they thought they was praying, and the Pharisee, the guy who thought he had made it, the guy who thought, look, he looked down on everybody else. Because see, the trouble is, when you're religious, when you don't have a vital relationship with Jesus, the tendency is you point the finger at everybody else. You find fault with everybody else. A religious spirit can create in you and in me something, well, I'm better than them. I've made it. And that's what the Pharisee was doing. Thank God I'm not like that publican, that tax collector down there. He boasted about what he'd done. He boasted about his tithes and so on. But the poor tax collector who knew the burden of guilt, knew that religion was never going to make him right with God, the Bible says, beat himself on the breast and say, God, will you be merciful to me, a sinner? Will you be gracious to me? Will you forgive me? I know I'm not going to make it on my own. Guess what? Jesus said, that guy who's prayed that prayer is justified. He's forgiven. He's now a child of mine. Isn't that beautiful? Not self-effort. That guy became a friend of Jesus. There was a relationship born. You see, it was the tax collectors. It was the prostitutes. It was the other social outcasts that were highly receptive to Jesus. You know why that is? Because they recognized something about what we call the grace of God. Is what God has done for us at Christ's expense. They were highly receptive to grace. They knew that if authentic spirituality was based on good behavior, they didn't stand a chance. So they willingly received the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. They recognize he was the Savior of the world. He was their Savior. A relationship was born. You know, a relationship, if you have a relationship with Jesus now, you'll have a relationship for eternity. What a gift. What a gift. You don't have to fear eternity if you are born again by the Holy Spirit, if you've accepted Jesus Christ. I give you my peace. Nor does the world give I unto you. My peace. And you know, he strengthens the believer. The Holy Spirit remains with the believer. Can't you thank God for that? I hope no one leaves this building today without examining themselves before God and asking the question, am I ready to meet God? Am I washed by the Saviour's blood? Let's pray. Help us, Lord, to examine ourselves, because we know that you search the hearts. Indeed, your word says you know our thoughts even before we say anything. So we can't hide from you, Lord. We can't run from you forever. So if there's any sin or indwelling things within us, Lord, which we're clinging on to, help us to forsake it for your sake, Lord Jesus. Help us to accept your forgiveness. Help us to run to you, Lord. Thank you for the invitation this morning that you have said, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. Thank you for the invitation that you said, seek my face, you will live. Thank you for the invitation that you're even giving to us this morning. Come to me if you're weary, if you're burdened, if you're heavy laden. Come to me if other people have put burdens on your back. Come to me. Let me give you my rest. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is easy, is light. Help us, Lord, please, Holy Spirit, come. Each one of us, we just have this little time talking to you, Lord, asking you to make things right. To cleanse, to purify, to surrender to you is the best way, Lord. I thank you that we can have a relationship with you, the holy, awesome God, through Jesus. Jesus was in this world reconciling us to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's not what I deserve, but it's your love to me. It's your grace to me. Pray, Lord, now, those who never truly accepted you as their Saviour, never really said, Lord, I'm needy. I'm a needy person. I'm lost. I want your Holy Spirit to live in me, indwell me, so that I can choose to follow you, to obey you, to love you, to have your blessing on my life, to have your blessing on my marriage, to have your blessing on my have your blessing in my work, in my school. Thank you, Lord, if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Thank you that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We tell you, Muhammad, no religion, no cult, no sect, no humanists give you what Jesus is offering you, the forgiveness of sin. And joy, and hope, and love, freedom. That's what Jesus is offering you. Be quiet for a moment. Anyone wants prayer now or after the service, we're happy to pray with you, but you can talk to the Lord direct. I tell you, the beauty about biblical spirituality, biblical Christianity, you don't need an earthly priest to go to Jesus, to go to God. You go through Jesus. Hallelujah. You talk to God through Jesus' name.